Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible teaches you cannot go anywhere without the Holy Spirit being there. You may flee across continents trying to find the meaning of life or trying to reform yourself. You'll never make it, friend. You'll never get the job done until you bump into the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, continues his series called The Why Series. Every believer's story begins with the work of the Holy Spirit bringing miraculous new birth. We've been given a new life, a new identity, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised not to leave us orphaned. And like a loving father who both comforts and directs his children, the Holy Spirit is always there for us. He is not meant to be a mystery, but is God, the Holy Spirit, with feelings, emotions, and passions. He knows what we're going through, especially in a time of crisis, and all we have to do is trust him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand that God is always present in this world. He is our source and our strength who will never leave us. Without the Holy Spirit, we are unable to live the kind of life that God truly desires for us to have. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In John chapter 14 in your Bibles, beginning at verse 1, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." And Philip answered and said unto Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth." Jesus said to him, "Have I not been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak, do you not know that that I speak not of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works that I do? Believe me," he says in verse 11, "that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." In other words, the miracles. Believe Christ just for the miracles alone then. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me," verse 15 says, "you'll keep my commandments. And I will," listen, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper." The word is a comforter. And we need comfort today, tonight, in this world, "that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned," Jesus said. "I will come to you." John 15, verse 18. John 15, verse 18. Just turn a little bit to the right, to the next page. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my name's sake because they do not know him who sent me, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Wow. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They have hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Parakletos, for those of you in Greece, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and they'll see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler, the devil, the ruler of this world is judged. And then finally, friends, John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will tell you all things and the things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what I have, which is mine, and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The preaching of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of the believer, that the Spirit of God would be your teacher, your guide, Moriel, that throughout all the world, no matter where we may be as Christians, the Holy Spirit is instantly available to be your teacher. And maybe tonight you're not a Christian, but you're curious. And because of the situation of the world right now, and you're alone or you've tuned in, you normally wouldn't be doing this. You'd be preoccupied with something else. And God's got your attention tonight. And God wants to be speaking to you. But this message, I must tell you, is predominantly for the Christian. But my prayer is that for many of you who don't know Christ tonight, that you would make a decision and that you would come to Jesus tonight and that you would become a follower of Christ. And I'm going to be very careful about my verbiage. I want to avoid using the term becoming a Christian because that has been so violated and so abused in this day and this age. Christian, the word means almost nothing anymore. I want to talk about and I want to be a follower of Christ, a real true follower of Christ. And that can't happen without the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we left off last time in our study. And so this is now part two, as we look at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We look at, first of all, mark it down in your notes. If you can see it there in front, if you've not downloaded the notes yet, you'll learn how. Number one, tonight we learn this. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? Some people talk about him being a force. He's some sort of a entity. Many have said in the spirit of Star Wars, may the force be with you. And that's how the Holy Spirit is, that he's just simply a force. And that's not true according to the Bible. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the second person, or I should say the third person as we describe of the Trinity. The Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation that there's God the Father. The Bible tells us from the book of Revelation back to Genesis, Genesis to Revelation, that there's God the Son. The Bible says in the Hebrew Scriptures, if you're watching from Israel, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that there'll be one who is eternal who will be born in Bethlehem. That's remarkable. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, in the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, that God has a son and that God, the Son, is eternal, that he'll be the eternal son born into this world. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, God says, who has ascended into heaven and who has descended? And who has held the wind in his fist and in the hem of his garment? What is my name? He says, and what is the name of my son, if you know? That's in the Hebrew Bible. But the Bible also speaks about the Holy Spirit being God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible, God speaks, and without apology, he just speaks. And I love that, the boldness of it. It's up to us to believe God. Tonight, or today, or wherever you're at. And in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Listen now. And the Spirit of God was brooding, hovering over the face of the waters. You might say, well, Jack, that doesn't prove anything to me about the Holy Spirit being a person. Well, just hang on for a moment. First of all, the Holy Spirit is identified as being God. God's a person. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 regarding the Holy Spirit, that he's deity, that he's a personality, and that he has a consciousness. That is, he has feelings, emotions. And maybe for many of you, you've never heard of such a thing before. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been a mystery to you. And I think herein is the problem with the Christian church today in the world, is that the Holy Spirit is not active. And that needs to change. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit has been with the church since the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is going to present the church back to Christ at his coming. That's exactly right. Jesus Christ is coming back. Christ is coming again, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to use the Word of God to prepare you and I to meet Christ. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, listen to this. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? You can read about that later in detail of Acts chapter 5. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control or your power, Ananias? Why have you conceived this evil thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Right there in that passage, the Holy Spirit is referred to as God, and that you can lie to God the Holy Spirit because he's a person. That's who he is. He's holy. He's the Holy Spirit as a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then secondly, we would ask the question, where is the Holy Spirit? Where is he? Not only where is he in Scripture, but where is he? We can find him in the Bible, throughout the Bible, but where is he in life? Many of you are living in persecuted lands. You might be asking, where is he? Now, I should probably interrupt myself with that. You need to know, those of you who are not living in persecuted lands, maybe there needs to be some reverse clarification here. People who are persecuted for the name of Jesus, the presence and the power of God the Holy Spirit is most often tangible. The danger is for some of us who live in comfortable parts of the world where we're not dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're not leaning on him, and we're not conscious of his presence. So where is he? Is a good question. In Psalm 139, verse 7, the Bible says, where can I go from your spirit, that is the Holy Spirit? Where can I go? The Bible teaches you cannot go anywhere without the Holy Spirit being there. You may flee across continents trying to find the meaning of life or trying to reform yourself. You'll never make it, friend. You'll never get the job done until you bump into the Holy Spirit. And you can do that at any time, wherever you are in the world. You can find out that he's right there, right where you're at. speaking to you. He's been speaking to you all your life, by the way. Every time you had a bad thought, had a nasty thought, sinful, lustful, pride, anger, hatred, you know it's wrong because of the Holy Spirit. I read a moment ago, you heard that. The Holy Spirit was sent to convict us of sin. But where is he? And that's a good question tonight or today, wherever you're at. Where is he in the midst of this crisis? If God is good, then where is he? And you need to know that God did not, according to the Bible, make this world the way that it is right now. God did not design the coronavirus. Now, God can use the coronavirus even though he didn't design it. And I think he's using it right now for me to speak with you and speak to others. But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is everywhere, and that in time of crisis, his presence can be, listen, his presence can be experienced right now, right where you're at, by simply opening up your life to him by faith. I know it sounds crazy, but faith is the realm where God moves, and that's where the foundation of what we believe resides. Faith is more real than anything tangible in this world. And you need to know that. And you need to know that where the Holy Spirit is, he can be with you right now. But in Scripture, he's in Psalm 139:7, as I said a moment ago. And in Psalm 107, verse 1, the Bible says, "The hungry and the thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried," like I pray America is crying tonight. Cried in prayer. I pray England is crying out in prayer. "They cried unto the Lord in their time of trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Where's the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, Jesus said, if you call upon him, God will hear you. And so what if this crisis has come about in this world to bring you eternal life? Because you'll make the decision to trust Jesus Christ tonight as Lord and Savior. That could happen to you tonight. It's possible that for you to be, it's impossible for you to be anywhere in the world and to not be experiencing the Holy Spirit. You just need to acknowledge him by faith and open your life to him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:20. Now, I don't know if this verse will pop up on your screen or not where you're at, but in the Bible, in 1 John 3:20, the Bible says, "If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Isn't that awesome? How does God do that? Think of it right now. Are you guilty of sin? Do you have shame in your life? That reality that is in your mind right now, that sensation of being guilty, you may have covered your life perfectly. You may be in some big high-rise office this morning in London, England, or in Paris, and you think you're doing so great and nobody knows nothing about what you've done. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows, and he doesn't want to condemn you. God loves you. He wants your life to be forgiven of your sins. Did you know that? It's called the gospel. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit in Scripture, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit in Scripture is the very one who brings us to the understanding that when we're condemned, it's because we're under conviction. And the moment we turn to Christ, the Holy Spirit sets us free. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin?" In other words, aren't sparrows, those little birds, so seemingly meaningless? "And not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's will," or that is, without God knowing. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." How does God know that? By the Holy Spirit. God the Father's in heaven. The Bible teaches Jesus is in heaven. So all of a sudden, you're understanding that the Holy Spirit is the very one who's active in your life. I pray he's active in your church. Maybe wherever you're at in the world, he's even now becoming active in your living room or in your hotel where you're at. Number three, as we look at the study here in the Why series on the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer. So why is the Holy Spirit necessary in your life? Number one, will you mark it down? Number one is for salvation. You're not going to go to heaven without the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who is the Jesus of the cross, the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago and rose again from the dead, and that today in Jerusalem there's an empty tomb. Not because there's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb because God said there would be an empty tomb. 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire, the Jewish religious authority, those who hated Jesus tried to keep that tomb closed. And God blew it open. And Jesus rose again from the grave. And that gospel truth, that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again from the dead, that you would be justified, is all on God. That's the gift of eternal life. That is the gospel. With all due respect to all religions of the world, every single one of them is an attempt to reach out and earn the pleasure and the smile of God or the gods. Not following Christ, not Christianity, not the God of the Bible. God told the Jews in the book of Jeremiah that there'll be coming a day that he would do away with their Old Testament laws and regulations given to them by Moses and on stone, on tablets, and God would destroy that and God would bring them a new covenant. In the book of Jeremiah, beginning at chapter 30 and reading on to 33. And that new covenant would be a covenant written upon their hearts, and that he would have his Holy Spirit dwell within them. God spoke about that through the Hebrew prophet in the book of Ezekiel. I will cause my people once again, he said, in the last days, to become a nation again. And he said, I will write my spirit, I will present my spirit upon their hearts and cause them to live again. And we're living in those days, salvation. Jesus said, listen, in John chapter 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, if you're a theologian right now, you need to write that down, or you probably know it. You need to teach me a thing or two. But I know this about that verse, that when Jesus said in John 20, 22, receive the Holy Spirit, when he breathed on them, that was the first moment that people, the disciples, were born again.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're always looking for how to become better people. God, however, wants us to become totally new people who reflect His image. Only the Holy Spirit can make that possible. Still, we do have a part to play, that's the truth. And that is to fill our minds and hearts with what's right and good. Pastor Jack understands that challenge and offers great spiritual content on his YouTube channel. Simply go to Real Life with Jack Hibbs right there on YouTube. And once you're there, you'll find Bible studies, sermons, prophecies as they relate to current events, and so much more. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.